It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, they continue to rise. Total annual syphilis cases shot up nearly 28% from 2020 to 2021. And that's in new data from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Here's reaction from CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky at a White House monkeypox briefing last week.
We do have a rising challenge with sexually transmitted diseases across this country, not just monkeypox, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia as well. And so we really are hoping to capitalize on this moment for awareness, not just about monkeypox, but other STIs as well.
Join in on STD rates, testing, and treatment. Public health efforts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Megan Benson is here, Director of Education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Megan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
What are you encountering here in Wisconsin? Why are cases of sexually transmitted diseases rising?
Well, I think it's really important to think about how sexually transmitted infections have been on the increase prior to the COVID pandemic. We have also seen more recent increases over the past couple years. And I think there are a lot of reasons behind that. Certainly during the pandemic, many individuals were not accessing healthcare, not accessing the preventative healthcare that they may have normally been accessing prior to the pandemic. And so we really need to get people back into regular care, get people back into having those preventative visits so that we can address this rise that we are seeing in STIs. And of course, we were seeing this rise before the pandemic as well. So there have always been some challenges with access and just need to make sure that people know when they should be getting tested, why they should be getting tested, and where they can go.
And just to put a finer point on it, does Wisconsin cases follow this national trend of just exploding cases?
Yes, it absolutely does. So we are seeing what we are seeing across the country with rising rates of infection, including things like gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis.
Why do STDs take a particularly heavy toll on young people, the age group, you know, the teenagers, 15 to 24-year-olds?
That is a really excellent question. And much like other infectious diseases, sexually transmitted infections tend to circulate within communities because that is who is interacting with each other. Young people are having sex with other young people and transmitting the infections. And unfortunately, young people do not always have great access to the information that they need to keep themselves safe, or the access to the healthcare services that they need, including testing. So young people may not have experience accessing healthcare on their own. And when they are in a situation where they are sexually active and should be getting testing for sexually transmitted infections, they may just not know where to go, how to set up an appointment, how health insurance works. And so that can certainly contribute to the increase in infections we see in that population as well.
Another point here in the CDC research to look into, it's showing that there are higher rates of STDs among some racial or ethnic minority groups compared to whites. What are the health inequities you find in STDs?
Yes, thank you for asking that question. And I do think it's really important to emphasize that sexual risk behaviors do not vary significantly across different racial and ethnic groups. So it is not necessarily the behaviors that people are engaging in. But again, we see infection in a community where people are more likely to be in relationships with each other, to be having sex, and that infection is going to start to spread. We also know that, again, when it comes to access, people of color have worse access to healthcare than white folks. And that may be an issue of not having insurance. It may also be an issue of not having a culturally responsive healthcare provider. Many people of color in this country and in this state have had very negative experiences with healthcare providers, or someone in their family or their community has. And that makes people less likely to be accessing the type of healthcare that they need.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the rise in sexually transmitted diseases with Megan Benson. She heads up education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. You can join in about STIs, what health public health efforts have worked in your community, what you're seeing, 800-642-1234. Megan, let's turn for a moment to monkeypox, because since May, the CDC says thousands of cases have been reported across the world, including at least 76 here in Wisconsin. CDC says HIV and sexually transmitted infections are prevalent among people with monkeypox. What can you tell us there?
First of all, I do think it's really important to note that monkeypox itself is not a sexually transmitted infection. However, the types of contact that people are having during sex, so closeness, touching, breathing on each other, those are actually the ways that monkeypox spreads. So monkeypox can spread through other types of behaviors, but again, sex does lead you to be in those situations where it could increase the risk of spread. And we do absolutely see monkeypox co-occurring with other types of sexually transmitted infections, with sexually transmitted infections, including mm-hmm. HIV. And again, it's just the type of contact that you're having puts you at higher risk for all of those types of infections.
I wonder, as you look at different groups of people with STIs and the spread, and you're in the education area, you're in communication, what is the key to speaking the language of youth and young adults so that, the really important STD prevention and awareness information that you're trying to convey can be delivered in an appropriate way that they will hear, that they will accept, and that is applicable to the lives they're living?
Yes, that is a wonderful question. And I do think it is really important that young people are getting messages about sexually transmitted infections, about safer sex, about decision-making around sexual behaviors in many areas. So, many schools provide sex education. That's a great place for young people to be getting, science-based information about their bodies and their behaviors. It's also really important that parents and other caregivers of youth are having these conversations with young people. And certainly we know that young people are on the internet, they are on social media, and while there is inaccurate information out there, there are also a lot of really great sources for information online. So Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has a presence on social media. We actually have a group of young people that we work with. They are called the P2Ds, or Power to Determine. They have their own Instagram account where they communicate with other young people about things like the importance of getting tested for STIs if you are sexually active. So the internet can be a good place for good information, but it's important that we also educate young people about where to find that good information.
Megan Benson leads community education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, reacting to the STD cases surging nationwide, how public health and community health centers in Wisconsin are responding. Join in on the 2.5 million reported cases of sexually transmitted diseases last year. What you want to bring up, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. 2.5 million people, 2.5 million people in our country were reported to have been infected with one of three sexually transmitted infections in 2021, chlamydia, gonorrhea, or syphilis. That is preliminary data from the CDC out recently. The overall number of syphilis cases in particular rose nearly 70% from 2017 to 2021. Join in on your story behind these numbers, what you think, 800-642-1234. Megan Benson heads up community education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and stays with us. Megan, let's talk about condom use. The CDC saying condom use among high school students is falling, fell to 54% in 2017 from 62% a decade earlier. What are your thoughts there?
That is an excellent question. And certainly condoms are one of the best forms of prevention for sexually transmitted infections. I do think there is an issue with access to condoms for young people. So young people, you know, may not know where to go to get condoms. If they do go to a place like a drugstore, obviously they would have to pay for condoms there, which may be a barrier for some young people. And so I do just think figuring out ways to make condoms more accessible can be really helpful. And so making sure condoms are available, at locations where young people are. So that might be community organizations. There are certainly schools that distribute condoms to young people. So really just finding ways to make them more accessible, and then also to make sure we're educating young people about the importance of using condoms, making sure that they know how to use condoms correctly, because that is going to be how they're the most effective. So finding ways to also talk to young people in schools, in homes, wherever young people are.
I can tell it's not just the access piece, but it's the education piece, and one that you are so deeply involved with. What is your approach to education, and how has it evolved over the years since you've been working on this issue?
Yes. So Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin works with a variety of school and community partners to provide sex education. So again, we are going to where young people already are, in a school, at an after-school program, and offering education. The most effective sex education is going to be education that is inclusive. So inclusive of all young people, their identities, their experiences, that is honest. So providing really fact-based, science-based information to young people about their bodies and their health. And also making sure that we are providing opportunities for young people to be honest with us, to ask their questions. I think question boxes are a really important way to go, so that young people have a little confidentiality or anonymity to the questions that they often have. Mm-hmm. So really just creating that space where young people feel safe and comfortable getting the information they need.
Well, here's a question that might come up in the question box. How often should a person get tested for an STD?
So that does vary from person to person, depending on their risk behaviors. And certainly a young person or an adult who is sexually active should really be talking with their healthcare provider about what frequency of testing is right for them. Very generally, the CDC does provide guidelines that say that any sexually active young person should be getting tested for STIs at least once a year.
Another question in the question box: is it true that some STDs have no symptoms at all?
Absolutely. There are many sexually transmitted infections that do not have symptoms or may not have symptoms for many years. And that is a really important part of the education, is to let people know that you could have a sexually transmitted infection, you could pass it along to other folks, it could be causing problems inside that you're just not aware of. And so, again, any sexually active individual should be getting tested because they may have one of those asymptomatic infections.
And is there a difference? I mean, you've used STI, that acronym, as well as STD. Is there any difference between disease and infection, or what's the distinction?
That is an excellent question. I have been providing sex education for nearly 20 years at this point, and I definitely default to STI or sexually transmitted infection. STD is also very commonly used. It is the term that the CDC uses. You know, many young people that we talk to, that's the term that they're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So there is not a difference between those two terms. However,
but disease sounds scary.
Absolutely. And that is why I prefer to use the term infection. You know, there is a lot of stigma surrounding sexually transmitted infections. And absolutely, like you said, there can be a big difference between someone having a disease, which can feel scary, serious, and an infection, which can be treated. And all sexually transmitted infections can be treated. Many of them can be cured with things like antibiotics. And so that is why I use that language, is just to sort of move away from that stigma and fear that sometimes people experience when they hear STD.
Megan Benson with us, Director of Education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, looking at the surge in sexually transmitted infections or sexually transmitted diseases, as we've been talking about. You can join in along the way on education, on testing, on treatment, things you've been wondering about this rise in cases. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Megan, Planned Parenthood says testing for STIs is important because some may cause serious health problems if left untreated, which is probably where disease comes in. You know, where can people find testing, and what is that process like?
Yes, that is really important that people know where to go to get tested. And many healthcare providers offer sexually transmitted infection testing. So certainly if you have a regular healthcare provider, you should be having a conversation with them about what tests you might need and how frequently. Additionally, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin offers sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment at all of our health centers. We do have 23 health centers across the state. And if someone is looking for a health center to come to, you can go to plannedparenthood.org, type in your zip code, and find the health center that's closest to you. You can even schedule an appointment online.
There's been some talk of at-home testing kits. What can you tell us there?
Yes. So Planned Parenthood does also offer at-home testing kits, as do other healthcare providers. It was something that we actually started offering during the pandemic. Again, we knew that many people were not accessing their regular preventative healthcare, and that might be, you know, concerns about being in healthcare settings, you know, potentially getting infected with COVID. And so it was a really great option that we were able to start offering at that time, and we have continued to offer it. For some individuals, that may be a really good choice. It might be related to the confidentiality. Maybe they don't live near a healthcare provider who offers STI testing, and so it might be an accessibility issue. But it, you know, it really is up to the individual. If someone would feel more comfortable coming into one of our health centers or going to another healthcare provider to get testing, that is absolutely still an option. But again, for some people, the at-home testing might be more accessible to them.
What is the specimen? Is it urine? What is a sample?
Yes. So there are a couple different ways to collect a specimen for STI testing. Urine testing is one. We do also have swabs, primarily vaginal swabs.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on someone's anatomy, may depend on the type of specimen that they are collecting.
How accurate are these tests? What have you learned there?
The tests are very accurate, and I do know that some people have concerns about collecting their own specimen, but studies have shown that self-collection is as effective as collection by a healthcare provider. So if someone does have a sexually transmitted infection, doing the self-collection, doing the at-home testing is just as effective as going into your healthcare provider.
And goodness knows, we've learned about self-collection and the rise of COVID and just, you know, how to test for COVID at home, which has been such a real game changer.
Yes, absolutely. I think people do have a lot of experience with that self-collection now, certainly.
Megan Benson with us, Director of Education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, as we discuss the surge in STDs and how public health educators are responding, viewing this trend, next steps to stop the spread, what type of education is happening around you and your young person. Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer Kent. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. Sexually transmitted infections, they soared in 2021, with syphilis rates reaching levels not seen in decades. That's from the newly released CDC data, syphilis being the bacterial disease that presents as genital sores and can lead to other diseases and even death. Join in with your questions about STIs, detection, treatment, spread, education, 800-642-1234. Megan Benson is here, Director of Education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, stays with us. Megan, we heard from Mary in Eau Claire, called in and couldn't stay with us. Mary is elderly and says that they used to live in a senior living center. And Mary says people don't realize how sexually active elders are and how most seniors, Mary says, don't know what they're doing when it comes to safe sex. So Mary wants to know how your organization or other organizations are caring for the elderly.
Oh, that is a wonderful question. Thank you so much for calling in, Mary, and lifting up that population, because absolutely, we tend to focus a lot on younger populations, which do have higher rates of STIs. But really, anyone who is sexually active can get a sexually transmitted infection, and that is absolutely true of adults and our elders as well. So, we do provide sex education for adults in the community. And I think it's important that we think about some of those places where older folks may be living, especially together and potentially having those sexual relationships, and making sure that that education is happening there as well. Sex education should really be a lifelong process. Our bodies change, our relationships change, and older folks are just as in need of inclusive, responsive education as well.
On this sex education, Wisconsin being one of 35 states where a student may opt out of a sexual education course if it's approved by the parent, and that's accounting from the Guttmacher Institute, how effective is sex ed at reducing the spread of STDs?
Sex education can be incredibly effective at reducing sexually transmitted infections, as well as things like unintended pregnancy, and supporting things like healthy relationships and good communication and consent. It is really important that sex education is provided in a certain way in order for it to be effective. So I mentioned earlier that education should really be inclusive of all young people and adults and their experiences and identities. It should also be comprehensive. So it should be something that is happening over time. It's not a one-time conversation for people. People need information and they need to build on that information. So when we're talking about young folks, we may be providing sex education that is age appropriate to younger children, where we're talking about healthy, healthy relationships, healthy friendships, what it means to, you know, consent to someone else touching you. And as, you know, children start to grow, get into middle school, you know, thinking about dating and, you know, as they get older, thinking about, having, sexual relationships, we're really able to build on that information and start talking to them about what healthy dating relationships look like, what consent to sexual activity looks like. And we also need to make sure we're covering a wide variety of topics. So we don't want to talk about just one method of birth control or just abstinence, but really making sure we're talking about all the methods of birth control that are out there, all the different ways that you can prevent keep from passing sexually transmitted infections on to other folks, like condoms and testing. So really that comprehensive education is very important.
You know, touching a little bit more here on stigma, how can we help teens or adults feel less shame for having an STI?
I think talking more about sexually transmitted infections is important. It's generally not something that comes up, you know, just in a normal conversation between folks. But the more we can talk about it with each other in health classes, in homes, in, at community organizations where people are together, that will help to normalize the conversations and make people more comfortable. So when they do go to their healthcare provider, they can make sure to be talking more specifically about their individual behaviors and risks and healthcare needs.
You've been doing this education and outreach for many years now. I'm wondering, and I know you're not a physician, but is the treatment of STIs like chlamydia and gonorrhea different today than it was in the past?
So there have been some changes to treatment for sexually transmitted infections. So, you know, as, antibiotics have changed over time, become mm-hmm. more effective, you know, there have been some changes there. But the treatments that we've had have been effective for a very, very long time. The bigger issue is just making sure that people have access to the appropriate treatment for any sexually transmitted infection that they might have.
What about cost? How much does it typically cost to treat an STI, and if the person doesn't have insurance?
So certainly that can vary. There are some sexually transmitted infections that can be treated with one pill, one antibiotic. Other sexually transmitted infections might have, additional costs, or, you know, if it's an infection that someone may have long-term, something like HIV, that can certainly get expensive. Health insurance should cover most sexually transmitted infection testing and treatments. If someone doesn't have health insurance, I would definitely recommend that they come to a Planned Parenthood health center or another similar healthcare provider that does serve uninsured and low-income communities. We have some different programs that we can sign folks up for to cover the cost of their care, and we would never turn anyone away based on their inability to pay. So a Planned Parenthood Health Center is definitely a great option for anyone, but especially if someone doesn't have insurance, we absolutely welcome them to come to us.
Megan Benson with us leads community education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, has for years, as we talk about the rise of STI cases surging nationwide and how Wisconsin public health is approaching this issue. As we learned from the CDC, 2.5 million reported cases of sexually transmitted diseases last year. You can join in at 800-642-1234 to talk. Megan, you mentioned HIV, and people with a sexually transmitted disease are more likely to get HIV or transmit it to others. That's according to the CDC. Why is that?
Sexually transmitted infections can cause things like sores, irritation to skin and tissue, and that could potentially provide an easier pathway for HIV transmission. So that is one of the main reasons that other sexually transmitted infections like gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis can increase someone's risk of contracting HIV.
And what I didn't know about was this link of opioid and meth use, which has gone up in the pandemic, which has led to more HIV and hepatitis infections, apparently, among people who share needles, and then to the spread of other STDs. So I feel like there's this whole network at work to what is behind this rising caseload.
Absolutely. There is a linkage between drug and alcohol use and transmission of sexually transmitted infections. In the case of intravenous drug use, it's, you know, the actual use of the needle, sharing needles, can contribute to increased risk of infection. And additionally, you know, when people are under the influence of alcohol and other drugs, they may be less likely to be making good health behavior decisions. So less likely to talk to a partner about using a condom or to have a condom or be using a condom correctly. And that is something really important to discuss, is how the substance use can certainly put people at increased risk for STIs.
Megan Benson with us leads education at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin as we take stock of America's troubling rise in sexually transmitted infections. What conditions are like on the ground here in Wisconsin to prevent the spread of STDs? Still time to talk about education, about treatment, about diagnosing STIs, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The American Medical Association, the AMA, announced in August a new toolkit aimed at helping physicians and other healthcare professionals increase routine screenings for sexually transmitted diseases. And the AMA says it has documented declines in clinical visits for HIV, STIs, and other preventative services. Meanwhile, the CDC, as we've been talking about, is tracking this explosion of STI cases in 2021. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Megan Benson leads education efforts at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and stays with us. Megan, the CDC's director of STD prevention, Leandro Mena, recently told Politico that it's the underfunding of public health programs that is largely to blame for the increase in STD rates. What is your reaction to that?
I definitely agree with that. We have severe underfunding of many public health programs in this country, including very important prevention practices. So I know it's a little cliche, but I really absolutely believe the old adage that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And if we did better invest in prevention and early intervention of sexually transmitted infections, we could absolutely turn these increasing rates around and start to see declines in them. But that would require an investment in prevention.
I'm just thinking about even the P2D program you mentioned earlier about young people as part of a program, on social media platforms working with education. I mean, that would also be one area I would imagine that you need to continue funding.
Yes, absolutely. And young people can be some of the best educators for themselves and their peers. We know that young people don't always want to listen to adults or do listen to adults. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, young people have their own language, and they can speak that to each other. They can use, platforms like, Instagram and other social media platforms to communicate with each other. And, you know, they're around each other at school, at, after school programs. So absolutely, peer education programs, I think, are one great way to get information to young people.
What would you tell Wisconsin lawmakers? What would you tell policymakers on what these numbers mean and how to address the rise of STIs?
I think there are a few different ways that policy could really impact the rates of sexually transmitted infections that we're seeing. I do think an increased investment in our public health infrastructure. So making sure that, local health departments have the funding and the staffing to be able to provide sexually transmitted infections could be helpful. There are many other states that have school-based health centers that offer sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment, along with a lot of other healthcare that young people need. Locating those services where young people are is going to make them more accessible. So that is certainly important. And I also think improving our policies around sex education in the schools could be very helpful. We have more than 550 different school districts across the state of Wisconsin, and they all approach sex ed differently if they provide sex education at all. And so having a really clear policy about providing good, effective sex education in our schools, making sure we're funding that education and things like teacher training so that teachers are really equipped to provide good sex education, I think could go a long way in preventing sexually transmitted infections.
I want to turn now to abortion, because in our society now, with the fall of Roe, Planned Parenthood, we immediately, our brains go to abortion care. Just some things coming up here. Planned Parenthood stopped providing abortion services this year after the Supreme Court, June 24th, overturned, constitutional protections, struck down Roe. How is Planned Parenthood now talking with parents and teens about abortion?
Thank you so much for asking this. I think it's a really important question. And there are still a lot of people who are unaware that abortion is no longer accessible in the state of Wisconsin. When that Supreme Court decision overturning Roe happened in June, there are people in our state who believe that a law criminalizing abortion that is on the books from 1849 automatically went back into effect. We do not necessarily believe that that is the case, but without clarification, either from the state legislature or from our court system, we can no longer provide abortion because of the uncertainty around that 1849 law. That does limit an option for people who are experiencing an unintended pregnancy, or who have a pregnancy that could be harmful to them. And that has created a lot of barriers for people in Wisconsin who are now, people who need abortions in Wisconsin are having to travel out of state to places like Illinois or Minnesota. And not that prevention has not always been important. Prevention has certainly always been important. But it may be a more important conversation to be having now, as we know that is no longer an option in the state of Wisconsin, at least for the moment.
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, you pivoted very quickly after the ruling, after the fall of Roe, and we learned that your staff physicians and nurses started traveling to Illinois to provide abortion care. Is that the case? How is that now?
Yes. So, we were unfortunately anticipating that this could be a potential outcome of the Dobbs case that was going through the Supreme Court. So we absolutely did do our best to prepare for it. It was definitely still a really challenging day. We had patients in our health centers on the day that the decision came down, and we had to send patients home without the healthcare services that they needed. We are working very closely with Planned Parenthood of Illinois, our sister affiliate, because we are referring a lot of folks to them, and they have seen a huge increase in patients, not only from Wisconsin, but from other states in the Midwest that are also, banning or preventing folks from accessing abortion there. So yes, we are doing our best to help them staff their healthcare centers so that they can take in that influx of patients. And they have really been a wonderful partner. And, you know, it's really unfortunate that people in Wisconsin can't access the care they need here. But good to know that we have such a great partner right across state lines that is working on expanding those services for the people who need it.
Can you elaborate on any obstacles that Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has faced, you know, I don't know, licensing or other things the medical providers have had to take on in order to take their abortion services across the border? What are you still figuring out?
You know, I mean, I think one of the biggest barriers is the same barriers that our patients are experiencing, and that is the needing to travel. And certainly that is more challenging for many of our patients who may not have, you know, financial resources. But, you know, that is a lot of additional time that that people are traveling to be able to provide those services. And so I think that the distance might really be the biggest barrier.
We're talking with Megan Benson with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. She's Director of Education. Megan, we also learned in recent days of Planned Parenthood setting up a mobile abortion clinic in Illinois that will stay in Illinois but travel along the borders. Can you shed any light on that development, on mobile clinic efforts?
I can try. I don't have a whole lot of information about this, but yes, I have heard that Planned Parenthood of Illinois will provide this mobile abortion clinic so that, again, you know, people maybe don't have to travel quite as far to access abortion services. However, it's still really important to remember that folks do still have to travel, and especially when we're thinking about more, you know, central and northern parts of the state, you know, that could be many, many hours that they will still have to travel. However, any way that we can expand access in states where abortion remains legal, I do think it's really important that those options are being explored and implemented.
Since the fall of Roe in June, you've been with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin so many years. Has how you think about your organization changed at all since this summer?
That is a very interesting question. I have worked for Planned Parenthood for a long time, almost 15 years, actually. It's been an organization that I have always been incredibly proud to work for, providing services, healthcare services, health education, that otherwise folks may not have access to. And this summer has definitely been really challenging. And I just continue to be incredibly proud to work for this organization that is doing everything we can to connect patients to the care that they need, to provide education out in the community, and do things like support prevention. And also to fight for restoring abortion access. So I don't think I thought this could be possible, but I may be more proud now than ever to work for such an amazing and resilient organization providing such essential services for folks in Wisconsin.
Megan, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Megan Benson is Education Director at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.